Okay, the coffee craze is alive and well across the country and continues to grow in Galesburg. According to statistics provided by the National Coffee Association, more Americans drank coffee in the past day, 65%, than any other beverage, including water. Added up, and Americans drink an estimated 491 cups of coffee every day. By my count, Galesburg has at least 8 dedicated coffee shops or drive-thrus, with more on the way. And our guests today own and operate 2 of those shops and join us to talk about everything coffee. We have Melanie Baldwin and Scott Baldwin, the owners of Orange Cup Java Station on North Henderson Street and Orange Cup Side Hustle on East Main. Melanie and Scott, welcome to Galesburg Live.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jay. Glad to be here.
Glad
to have you. So before we get to talk about Orange Cup specifically and your coffee empire, let's dig into the coffee craze. So more people drink coffee than water. What's going on here? Is that a statement against water or for coffee?
Oh, I think it's a couple things. One, the topic of coffee is trending tremendously now. You know, today's coffee drinker is very different than our grandma and grandpa, and the coffee is different that they're drinking. There's a trend now out there for what we call third wave coffee, and third wave. It assumes that it's a more sophisticated coffee drinker. It assumes that sometimes roasting is done on site. But what really, I think, has broadened the world of coffee is that people are just more interested. It's become kind of a artisanal product, if you will, not unlike wine, bourbon, things of that nature. And everybody has a different palate. You know, our palates have changed in the last couple of years.
Okay.
As we explored more into coffee.
Okay.
And I think that when people say, you know, I want to go and have a coffee, I want to go and meet you for a coffee, coffee is the word, but what they're saying is they want to make a connection.
Right.
They're really saying, I love you in a slight way. I mean, if they already have a relationship and are, you know each other, that's one thing. But even in a business situation, if you are meeting someone for coffee, you're open to hearing what they have to say and open to having conversation. And I think that that's what people are really craving, is that.
Yeah, that's a good point. So why does Galesburg have so many coffee places? It's really exploded. I've talked to you about this before. Is Galesburg oversaturated? Or I know you've previously said about clustering of coffee shops, and actually that can be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think, as we talked before about that, the more coffee shops there are, the more people are drinking coffee. And don't forget, the coffee industry is huge, not just nationally or worldwide. It's huge in every city. The average daily drinker of coffee and other beverages that are served at these places, every palate is different. You know, every customer base is different. And it will be interesting to see how, over the years, with all those new ones coming in, I think we will continue to see support, as all locally owned businesses do, from our community. We're fortunate and grateful that happens. But I think just the more options that are out there, the more people we will see drinking coffee, which in the end is good for everybody.
Do you think is there a point where there gets to be too many, or, you know, do you think they'll keep, you know, opening new shops here?
I think that once there are so many places that a player would pause before they came into the market. Mm-hmm. I think we're about there. You know, we expected from our own local business that we would see, you know, when we went to a brick and mortar, meaning people could come inside and enjoy themselves as well, we thought that we would see a reduction in our double drive-through. We had so many people that would come to us and say, you know, we want to stop by there, but the line is so long that, you know, we're not sure that we can get through. Of course, we always have at least 4 baristas in the little box on Henderson Street. We can really kind of do things in a very fast way, but really we're talking about people that were stopping for the first time, because most people, once they've been through our line, realize how fast our girls really can make a drink now. But we didn't see a reduction at all in the business at our double drive-through when we opened our second location.
Okay.
In fact, just the opposite. So that's been an amazing thing for us to experience. We expected it to happen, but it didn't. So we'll just see.
Okay. So stats say that in the past week, 61% of Americans had traditional coffee, while 52% had a specialty drink. So what are you seeing from your customers at Orange Cup? You know, how many are drinking just plain coffee, do you think?
About 3%.
3%. Okay. Does that, before you got into the business, does that surprise you or?
No, because, I'm considering like your question, just like black coffee with cream and sugar.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
A latte jumps into the other realm, right? But we see so many people that want just the variation, and that's what we provide more than anything is options. And, you know, different flavorings, et cetera. And we pride ourselves on our baristas getting to know our customers and knowing what that customer wants or knowing a suggestion that is a flavor profile that a particular customer would like. We get to know our customers that well. And that's our real mission.
I think there's also something to the idea that there is a group of people that just don't know what they don't know. And a large part of that group wants to know. They just haven't been exposed to or pulled or pushed into a direction of introducing them to what small batch coffee is, what a local roasted coffee is. And there are some people, many people, who reach for something on the shelf at Hy-Vee, if you will, and that's going to be hard to break because they've been doing that for a long time. But,
okay.
You know, the more people that have exposure to a different way coffee is brewed, a different bean that is roasted. I'm bullish on that people will want to experiment.
Okay. So what do you find are your most popular drinks? And then we'll get into some of their flavors. But, I mean, is there a certain style, a latte, you know, one of your frozen drinks? Is there a certain type of drink that's more popular than others?
Yes. So we have a lot of energy drink sales. Our primary consumption is our monthly board drinks, which is every month on the first, our team puts together four lattes and four energy drinks that are customized flavors, and then they name them, and they typically have a theme to them. And so we post that out on social media, and we literally have hundreds of likes and shares for our monthly board. So that's a big thing.
Yeah.
The espresso based drinks are large for us, and that's at the foundation of many of these drinks on our boards. There really isn't there's no end to the creativity that we put into those boards. All but one, I believe, has been done in-house. We had a customer at one point offer to do one for us, and we did. Not only were the drinks named, the ingredients were created by this person, the board itself was created by this person. So that was a one-off.
It was fun.
It was interesting. It was fun.
How important are the descriptions or the blends? I know I ordered a drink last week that I think it was bourbon caramel. That sounds a lot more interesting than just plain caramel. How important is it to make those items kind of stand out?
Very. We have hickory smoke now is in a particular syrup, which then we can add a touch of hickory smoke syrup to pretty much any drink and get that richness that somebody might want.
What goes into, I mean, how do you create the drinks?
Oh, it happens every day. You know, I will look behind the counter and a couple of baristas are taking bottles and mixing and tasting and mixing again, and there's a can of soda there. There might be an ingredient that didn't know we had that's going to go into that drink. We had a collaborative come meet with us a few weeks ago from California who introduced another style of drink that we're working on now. It's trial and error. You know, we know we've got customers that have a sweet palate. We've got customers that have a savory palate. Sometimes those are blended. It really is just organically happening every day. Usually when there's a little pause in action, what do? Let's try and make a new drink.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to name it. That's the hard part.
Mm-hmm. Right. And your baristas are heavily involved in that.
Oh, they're 100% yep. doing it.
Okay. And they have fun with that.
They totally have fun.
Yeah.
They know that they have artistic license to be able to do whatever they want in terms of menu development. And that's the fun part. You know, we encourage them to be as creative as possible. We encourage them to not only make those drinks, but then photograph them, make them look pretty, you know, tell us why, you know, name them, come up with a theme for that. Mm-hmm. You know, why would somebody want to buy that drink? How would you describe it to a customer to sell it to them? So all of those things just, you know, allows them to have that freedom of artistry.
Is there a general flavor that stands out that is more popular? I don't know, vanilla, caramel, is there one that's like kind of in every single drink? Or
of late, toasted marshmallow has been a really hot item, so much that our syrup supplier, Tarani Syrup, had a hard time keeping up with the production of it nationally. So that's been a big thing, because there's all sorts of drink trend, s'mores trend, you know, things that will that are, you know, add hickory to a s'mores, and you've got the taste of mm-hmm. a fire plus chocolate plus toasted marshmallow and graham.
So it's kind of a mental thing. It's kind of like a mental, yeah. You know, if you can't necessarily taste it, you're thinking about it.
Right.
There's a seasonal effect as well. somebody last week handed me a drink with lavender in it. Why lavender? Because it's springtime.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Why pumpkin? Because it's fall. Those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Peppermint because it's winter, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Has there been like an all-time best or most popular seller of your specials?
I think our number one most popular seller would be a candy bar drink with Snickers. Is just that flavor profile of chocolate.
We've got peanut. A couple, three drinks that are named after people. Mm-hmm. I think of the one from that the first one and probably the most popular is Amanda. Mm-hmm. It's the Amanda drink, which is named after our
general manager our who just had a baby this past yep. week, okay. which we're thrilled with. Went and saw him yesterday. He's beautiful. And so every time somebody orders an Amanda, I'm like, do you know Amanda? There is an Amanda. Amanda just had a baby. So that's been fun.
What are some of your other names? Who else has been lucky enough to get a drink named after him?
Well,
do you have a drink, Scott?
I do. I can't take credit for it.
Okay.
It's called the Salty Baldy,
okay.
which is a salted caramel latte, hot or cold. Then there's the Baldy, just the plain Baldy, which is a cold drink.
There's no such thing as a plain Baldy.
It's a cold drink that is a monster-based drink. It's lemon-lime syrup, two-thirds club soda, and one-third monster. And it's the most refreshing drink you're ever going to have. And so people are coming in now. I'm not always there, but I hear about it.
Okay.
Somebody else came and ordered the Baldy.
Okay.
Thank you.
But I think the funniest name drink to me is... Well, two things. The Fluffy Bunny, which is hilarious. It is a white chocolate marshmallow-based drink also. But always the folks that order the Fluffy Bunny are the biggest, burliest men. Yeah. And they often don't want to really even say that. They'll just go to the barista, you know what I want? Yes, I do. And then it's like, oh, here's your Fluffy Bunny in a large way for everyone. Or
have a nice day, trooper.
Right, that. Or it's been funny to see when we had, the Christmas at Christmas time, when we had the Kevin and the you little jerk. And so people would come into our shop and they're like, I want a little you little jerk. Like, or we would call it out to serve
yell
the
it
customer.
Out. So
right.
Somebody gives you a name and you yell it out
that,
to the whole
that
exactly.
Was Lynn Stevenson's favorite customer that ordered that drink.
So it was.
Here's your little jerk.
Here you little jerk. And or especially like people would come up to the drive through window and just yell, Kevin. Just like the right. movie. So we have a fun, you know, that's a thing. I think the overall theme is that we have fun every day.
Right.
That's our goal, is to have fun every day. Because if we're not, what's the point?
Right. Yeah. And you guys make it fun. So does it? Do you see a certain demographic that comes either to your shops? Is it not at all?
It's all over the board.
It is all over the board.
You know, it.
And we mean that in the very best way.
Yeah.
Because we make it purposeful and known that every person is welcome at our place, no matter what. No matter what their circumstances. We give away plenty of drinks, too, because we have people that can afford the drink a couple of days a week, but maybe not another, or we see something where we feel that this person could use something today. And all of our girls know that, and I should say girls and boy, we have Colton, he's our operations manager, one male besides Baldy here. But our girls are empowered to know that that they can do that if they sense that they should give somebody something.
One thing we've noticed that, speaking of all the different demographics, the plus 70, if you will, they want to reserve a table. They want to make a plan. The 19 to 35 year old, that's all spontaneous. Yet they end up congregating at tables. Students from Knox come out. You know, you have to make the effort to do that.
And Sanford.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. High schools from all around come around. We have the cheerleaders from Rova in several times.
Yep.
On their way to a meet.
Basketball team, volleyball team.
Every color hair you can imagine has been in there. Mm-hmm. And they all drink different things.
Mm-hmm. How many people know what they want to drink when they step up to the counter, do you think?
You know, it's 50-50. I mean, we have customers that wouldn't move away from their fluffy bunny for any amount of money. Mm-hmm. We have other customers that drink up and down the menu.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What's fun to watch is a new customer come in. They pause at the pickup counter because they haven't been there. We always know that. Send them down to the end. And then it's fun to watch how each of our baristas do it differently. Good morning, hot, cold, what flavor profile are they looking for? And it can be a 30-second conversation. It can be a 10-minute conversation because there's so much there. And it's fun to watch somebody that doesn't like coffee end up with a drink that mimics coffee or tastes like coffee or maybe even has some coffee in it because they didn't know.
What are you have a drink named after you, but what are your two personal favorite, if you had to pick a favorite, what are your favorite drinks?
So I drink a latte, half salted vanilla, and just regular whole milk. I'm very lame, actually.
You branch out and try any of the specials, or?
I do. No, I do. But that's just my go-to on the daily. Yeah. On the daily.
I'm not. I have a sweet tooth, but not a real sweet tooth for something that's syrupy like that. But yeah, usually a one of the recently the Athlete.
Yes.
That was one that became my favorite.
The PB&J.
The PB&J.
Oh, that sounds good. That sounds good.
Can I tell you, the PB&J is a latte that it's a layered latte. The choice in cold foam is either grape or strawberry. The first drink, you just bit into a peanut butter sandwich and you get the peanut butter. The second drink, the jelly comes into play. But the third drink, the third pole in future, are best bites. It's the center of the sandwich that you taste. People are blown away by it.
Yeah, that's definitely on my list. I'm going to have to try that one. So. How about between hot and cold drinks? Personally, I'm kind of a cold. I don't drink coffee anyway, but I've branched out to try some of your different drinks. But I'm usually always a cold person. What do you think the split is between hot and cold?
Changes by, like right now, spring's coming. Mm-hmm. We're going through a lot of ice.
Yeah. I would say it's 70-30. In spring moving into summer, 70 iced. So we really have bumped up our capacity when we built out the kitchen in the side hustle to be able to add extra ice capacity. So that was glad we did that for sure.
What's the future of coffee drinks? Are there any types of drinks or fusions you add to drinks? I know I've talked to you when you first were going to open that you've been to, you know, all across the country to see different coffee shops and how they work. What's kind of the future? What's going to come to, or even come to your place?
It'll be interesting to see. You know, most of what we researched and were exposed to was West Coast. And it was coffee infused with vitamins, CBD, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. You know, espresso soda.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tonics with coffee, etc.
Right.
Some of those latter two, mm-hmm. we've played with a little bit, and I could see that happening here. Some of the other ones, you know, as has happened historically, the East Coast and the West Coast takes a while for those things to blend into,
right.
so that the Midwest can appreciate some of those trends. But I think we'll get there with some of the tonic stuff and things that are maybe have a little more nutrition to them, if you will,
mm-hmm.
And not maybe as caffeine based.
And teas and tea infusions. So we're just beginning a program with a company called Good Earth, which is a tea company based in California. And they have all kinds of different tea infusions and blends. And we started with them with just one of their items called a sweet and spicy blend. And my girlfriend here, Cynthia Storsbach, she actually turned me on to that tea one day at her house, and then I just started exploring that and really looking at different tea companies where we could really both sell a drink made there in the shop, but also tea bags as well, having a program where we'd be able to sell those items too. So that's coming. We're about to do some additional shelf space in the front area there at the Hustle and be able to have both tea items and also brewing items to Scott's point about wanting more pour-over type brewing, some more slow type brewing, and some cold brewing. So more good things to come.
Cool. That sounds really, I'm especially interested in the teas.
The teas, yes.
Yeah, I'm an iced tea guy, so definitely looking forward to trying those. So obviously you guys have a great product, otherwise people wouldn't keep coming back. But you have a really loyal customer base, and I think a lot of that, you know, is due to, obviously, again, the good product, but you have a very aggressive social media plan, and it's very creative. I mean, how does that play into your business, do you think?
I think it's amazing because all we have really tried to do is care about people and be kind. And not only to our staff, or especially to our staff, especially to our customers, but, you know, how can we bring happiness and goodness into the world? That's what we try to do. And I think that has created a loyal customer base. I think that our customer base over years have seen us do Baristas for a Cause type events where we are the conduit to be able to give money or give, you know, support to someone that really needs it, that it's in this local community. For example, and I'm saying this because of the social media ask just now, is two of our baristas had their house burned down within less than a month ago. And we did a Baristas for a Cause for them immediately.
Right.
And it's always the favorite time for our baristas to work. They all volunteer to work that day, even though they're giving up their tips. And we are also, Scott and I are matching to some degree the tip amount. But it's so heartwarming to see people come in and just want to give. And for that particular event, they raised almost $12,000 of people that just came in. And we set up a bank account. And even at F&M, the banker that I visited one day just to drop off or deposit some more money, even he told me a story of a lady walking in there with a cane and just coming up and asking, you know, slow walking in there, you know, is this the place where she could drop off some money for the baristas? And he said, it is, and peeled off $1,000 for those girls.
Wow.
So it's like we've never seen. And so when we looked at our social media, you know, we made some posts about what happened and that. And in social media, there's something that you can do is called boosting your post. In other words, making it an advertisement. We did not do that. We don't do that for for these baristas for a cause. Mm-hmm. We all want to see what just happens with somebody telling somebody, telling somebody, and sharing and sharing. Those posts had over 60,000 views.
Wow.
Without doing anything at all behind the scenes to put it into anybody's feed. So, you know, it's amazing. And we are forever grateful and appreciative of that.
We also knew early on that to be active in the Daily Social, we're not the ones to do it. You know, we didn't grow up with iPhones in our hands. Mm-hmm. So we turned to our staff. We turned to some collaboration with folks outside of our enterprise to guide us in that. And there's so much to be done out there, whether it's reels, whether it's...
that we haven't even touched.
Yeah. Personal touch.
TikToks. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you're on there.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's,
all that stuff.
Yeah. We have the accounts. We just haven't even engaged that whole set of customers.
And the bonus is, I mean, it's not only you guys that are doing the social media, it's your customers who are taking pictures of their items and tagging Orange Cup. I mean, that's a huge part of it too.
Right. Yeah. It is. Yeah. It is. And you know what? They're happy. I mean, that's what we want to see is that they're happy.
Talk about, I know this is one of your favorite things. Talk about your baristas on the whole concept of what you believe in, on what they mean to your business and how you work with them and develop them. I'm sure a lot of people don't understand, you know, what fully goes into how much of a role they play in your business.
Oh, my goodness. They're everything.
Mm-hmm.
They're 100% everything. Yeah. We couldn't do what we do without them. They are the most key part of our business. And we often, so when we opened our new location, we had quite a bit of hiring to do at one time. We did not do that hiring. We have a team that does the hiring, that does the conversations, that know whether or not that person has a chance of working at one or the other environments. They're both very different. The side hustle business is a little bit slower pace than the double drive-through, very tiny little box having to be just right on top of each other. It takes a certain person to work in both places. And so they were the key to getting everyone hired, getting everyone trained, and we just support that effort. We support our staff in every way. I think that one story that we always talk about when we first hire a team is that, you know, because we get the question all the time, how do you find people and how do you get good people and are you having any trouble keeping people and this? And one thing that we always say at the very beginning, like literally day one of their employment, especially if they've come from other food places or other, you know, just jobs or entry-level jobs, we let them know that if things ever get tough for them financially, if they ever need money where they're on fumes, the answer is never in the drawer.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is never giving away things to your friends. The answer is come to us and we will give you the money. We will give you what you need so that you don't have to feel that way. And I think that for me, for sure, it comes from experience of having felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, I think that that has been an overwhelming success. And we have people take us up on that. And yes, we do what we say we were going to do. And we don't have an expectation of that coming back to us.
The allowing our employees to choose to interview and recommend for hiring our future employees is huge, though. I mean, it's choosing your teammate before they're your teammate.
Mm-hmm.
And the environment, as you know, the small box of sunshine on Henderson Street is tiny. And five people in there, it gets crowded. And, you know, you can only say, excuse me, I'm sorry, pardon me, so many times. So knowing that you're hiring somebody that you know you can get along with for a six-hour shift in a small box is really important.
Mm-hmm.
We have some cross-pollination between the side hustle and Orange Cup Java. They're very different environments, but the team concept is still at the foundation for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And allowing input to choose that right employee is so important to us.
Mm-hmm. What have you, didn't mean to interrupt you there, but what have you learned from your baristas? I know when we've talked before that, you know, you think you have a great idea, and then they'll say, no, that's not going to work. I mean, are you still finding that out now?
All the time.
Oh, yeah. And they're right. yeah. Well, I've learned, and might have been also from some of our new hires who, you know, would come up and say, this isn't an easy job. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's like oftentimes I couldn't do the job. You know, that's right. Why it's like I don't have it in me to do the ratios and that and in a speed fashion.
Social media is one thing. I think that right away we saw that we didn't know how to do it. Needed their help. Wanted their input. Mm-hmm. Drink construction. Even how we supply ourselves with equipment and where the equipment goes. Getting their input on products that we serve, the type of food that we provide or not provide. They get feedback on a regular basis. We get feedback usually when we ask for it, or usually when
they
that rare occasion
feedback.
That something went wrong, then we get a lot of feedback.
Mm-hmm. And we welcome it. Yeah.
And you have regular meetings outside of the workplace. You know, you have a place downtown, and you go over strategies and everything like that.
We do. Yes, we do. So we have a social media team. We have a menu development team. We have a theme of product theme, a team. It's just been amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We keep bringing. We've got a couple people starting with us soon, new people.
Mm-hmm. Approximately how many people do you employ?
43.
There's really never been a problem hiring? I mean, is there almost like a waiting list for people to, is there?
There is. I mean, we have been so fortunate because usually someone has a friend that has someone that has a friend that has someone that has a friend. And, or we have many family members of multiple, you know, it's a very tight web that is woven. But, you know, I want to go back to one thing that I think that is interesting. So, you know, in our business, everyone has to have a food safety certification, the minimum mm-hmm. to be able to do the job. When we opened up the side hustle and we decided to do food there, we had to go to a different level and then chose to do the highest level of food licensing so that we would have, you know, free range to do anything that we might want to do there. And so we offered up to our barista teams that if they wanted to take the food safety manager course, which is, I guess it's probably a $175 course over 8 hours of time. It's an online course, and then you test for it. And then you've got a management certification to be able to elevate yourself, whether you're with us or anywhere else. It's like something that you can gain for yourself. So, and we told them, we'll pay for the course. You can log in when you're taking the course. And then, you know, when you have the certification, we'll increase your wages as well. So it's like a win for everybody, right? And it's been amazing. We had one young girl, McKenna, which she is a junior in high school right now. And everything that we give her, she just takes the challenge. She just takes it and runs with it. And so we just mentioned to her, you know, perhaps that you would like to take the manager course. She says, I think I would. And she had it done over the weekend.
Wow. You
know? And she was done with it at 17.
Right.
That's amazing. You know, we just want to support our baristas in whatever they do and wherever they end up. You know, we have so many that are college students that are going to go somewhere else, and they're going to you know, be in their chosen career. We just hope that they take some of the things that they've learned with them along the way, and because we certainly have taken things from them that we've learned along the way. So it's equal, and, you know that they're loved and supported.
Okay. We're wrapping up our conversation with Melanie and Scott Baldwin of Orange Cup. Last September, you opened the Side Hustle which includes the drive-through, but also the sit-down area inside. How has that gone over, and what have you learned since you've opened that?
We had two objectives going in. One, to create an atmosphere that when a customer walked in, they might, I'm looking to the left because that's how you walk and you look to the left, they might think, this doesn't look like Galesburg. You know, it was a Shell station, became a car care center, then became the side hustle. So one, that was one objective. Two, we knew we wanted it to be a gathering place. We wanted it to happen organically. And over the last 6 months or so, maybe earlier this year, the gathering element to it was always there, but it took off when certain groups of people started to come. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, a men's club grabbing two other men. It was a book club grabbing three other people that hadn't been there. It was a
church group.
A Knoxville group from high school. You knew when school was over because 3:10, the bullets came in. A church group. We have a pastor that has that has church on Sunday mornings in the lobby for 8 or 10 young people. And it's become that. It was all organic. We couldn't have pushed the button. We couldn't have probably created that on our own. Mm-hmm. But we have groups that now we need a reservation for 12, etc. Birthday parties, after hour things, mm-hmm. That we didn't anticipate. Mm-hmm. So it became, and we're lucky, we're grateful, we're fortunate that, you know, there was a lot of, why are you doing that? Why, you know, who would come out here? Mm-hmm. Well, the East End is rising, as mm-hmm. I say, because it every day we get people off the highway now. The signs helped. Coffee near me, Googling helps as well. But it, you know, we didn't know. You don't know till you know.
Right.
It's our first sit-down operation. I'm glad that we have comfortable seating. I'm glad that we have more chairs than we probably needed. Yeah. I'm glad we have bought the extra table at this point. You know, but who would have known?
Right.
It'll be fun. This is our first spring. So we've got that curtain that comes down in the middle.
Right.
And that on the center door. The other two will be coming soon. It'll have a very airy feel through spring and summer. And
screens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What I learned is that people are hungry.
Uh-huh. So the food part of it's gone over well.
Oh, my goodness. And that was something that we didn't expect to do mm-hmm. much of. I mean, we have had the collaborations with Carriage House, with Black Market Bagel, with Toya at Next to the Salt for, you know, different food items all along. But we never really had the idea that people would want to come in and they would want to sit down and have lunch. And they would want to come in and you know, want other day parts, breakfast sandwiches, et cetera. And so we have modified our business to be able to do that, to, you know, to respect what the customers are asking for. Mm. This has been a good thing.
Okay. Finally, Scott, I know you're from Galesburg and Melanie is fairly new to Galesburg, but you're both, I think the quote was before, you're very bullish on Galesburg. You know, as business owners here in town, how do you see the overall, you know, climate of Galesburg, and just where's Galesburg going, do you think? Mm-hmm.
So we have the chance to live kind of wherever we wanted to. I was working remotely before I retired, and we chose Galesburg. We chose Galesburg because, one, I grew up here. Mm-hmm. Two, it's still a fun place to come. The business community, the commercial community, we felt supported very much by the city. We felt supported by the trades. We felt that everyone had our back, that we were doing the best we could do to open when we needed to open. You know, looking around, you know, there are interests on from the community for things that are not locally based, and I get that. You know, some of the larger, the Paneras or the Cracker Barrels, things like that. But it's amazing to me, Admiral Leaves, Maytag Leaves, et cetera, over the years. And I go back, you know, a long time in mm-hmm. Galesburg. And it amazes me, you know, there's a build it, they will come kind of thing. There's a build it, they will try it kind of thing. And I've always said that if you do it a certain way, if you provide a certain level of quality, a certain level of quantity, whatever it might be, a hardware store to a restaurant, if you hit it the right way, you can be here for a long time. And I think those that have figured that out, I like to think have the same positive support that we got from those that we needed it, and we'll see it as a productive environment to do business in, just as we did.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you have to try. I guess you can't do anything unless you try.
Absolutely.
Right?
Well, and people would say, you know, Galesburg, why? And I would say, why not? Kindest, most persevering mm-hmm. people that I've met in my life. And we've lived some places. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're proud to be here, and we're proud to be in Galesburg. We're proud to be from Galesburg. My husband is. And I'm proud to have gotten here as fast as I could.
Okay. I think that's a good way to wrap up our coffee talk with Melanie and Scott Baldwin of Orange Cup, Java Station, and Side Hustle. So, Melanie and Scott, thank you very much for joining us today on Galesburg Live.
Thanks so much.
Okay. Thanks, Jay.
Take care.